Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Play that fucking voicemail. Let's go.
Welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle podcast. My name is Brian Becker. This is episode number 526. Oh my God. I swear to God, I don't do that on purpose. I just dropped my pencil. Oh my God. Where is it? Episode number 526 of the show. Thank you very much for listening. Please feel free to leave us a voicemail, 949-464-8257. Additionally, we would love it if you subscribed and pledged a monthly donation of $5. In return, you will be one of the heroes of the show, but also you will get all the bonus content that we do each and every week there that is only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes and you can sign up there. I am joined now, as always, by Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I think you'd be more alarmed than I would be because I went out for my bike ride this morning and the cops were like blocking my, like, I live right next door to a park and they were like blocked off and there were all these old timey vehicles aligned like all along the park.
Shooting a movie?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you can't get here. Who do I see? Your boy Chalamet. It's a Bob Dylan biopic filmed like 100 yards from my apartment. I just don't have opinions on him. I know you hate him. I just don't even know him that well.
I mean, do you have opinions on chlamydia? Because you probably have it.
Yeah. So
we'll get checked straight away. You might need a shot. Oh,
just by riding my bike near there. But anyway, yeah, the cops. So then yeah. I go for a big bike ride. I come back and I go through a different way home and they've blocked off a different block and they've set up like old timey. It's all like, I guess it's like Bob Dylan origin story kind of shit. And because it's all like supposed to be like 50s.
Oh, so this is
and Ed Norton,
Minnesota, small town.
Ed Norton's playing Pete Seeger. Like it's all
right.
It's all taking place in Hoboken. I know they did this like a month ago. They filmed a different thing, but
yeah,
it's everywhere. I don't like being the concerned citizen.
Sure.
Like it's just, you know, whatever, but I want details. Like, how much does a town get paid? I get, like, when they rent out a restaurant and stuff, and, like, you got to pay them as if they're doing great business. But, like, how much, like, for them to tell me I can't walk down this block and I can't go here and there. Yeah. It's like, well, what do I get as a citizen for Timmy Shals playing Bob Dylan?
Yeah, they do this in L.A. all the time where they'll do it in the middle of the night if they can, but sometimes early in the morning, they'll close part of the fucking freeway to shoot a movie.
Right. And it's like, well, how does that help me?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's whatever they're getting. It's not enough.
They did this.
Go somewhere else and do that.
They did this a few months ago with a Blake Lively movie. And, you know, it was nice to see Blake Lively. But then they're like, you can't walk down this block. So I cross the street and they're like, no, those are extras over there. You can't walk down there. Well, pretend I'm an extra in Hoboken. I don't care.
One time, I agree. One time this happened to me. I was coming out of a restaurant in Amsterdam and I come walking out of the door and they're like, hold up. And some big dude is like, just wait a second. And I'm standing there and I'm like, what's going on? And I looked to either side of me and they have like the street blocked off and people, you know, everybody's there on their bikes ready to like, you know, continue about their day. And they got the whole street blocked off. And then they're like, action. And who do I see run out in front of me?
Who?
Rob Schneider filming. This will date me. Filming Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo. Oh,
the Deuce 2.
Yes. Right. Ruined my afternoon. Like trying to get from, and the locals were pissed also that they had to wait for Rob Schneider. So yeah, this happens.
I'll date myself. One time I went to a concert in New York City and I was pretty sauced, and let's say this is July or August.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'm leaving there, and then there's an entire city block all Christmas out. Oh, yeah. And I'm like drunk. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah, they were filming Serendipity with Kate Beckinsale and Cusack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
But I was like, I was pretty hammered. I was early 20s, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
And they were all, like, doing a full Christmas scene.
Yeah. Well, you should definitely get yourself checked out from that Chalamet.
Just riding by. You never know if the Chlamydes is just like, you know, it's now on the spokes of my tires.
Yeah, you could have ridden through his swath, Ed. He's probably got a Chlamydes cloud floating around him. Yes. Yeah.
Essence.
X is essence. Quick update. You know, I've been subscribed to many email newsletters.
You got more Shenyun?
Oh, yeah. There's Shenyun's having a Father's Day thing, 20% off on any of the.
There's a massive billboard in the city that, like, they're doing, like, a new, you know, it's Shenyun this and Shenyun that. And you're okay. It's a bunch of acrobats.
It's like the Star Wars spin. What's those? Like the French acrobats.
Yes. It's the same
Cirque
shit.
Cirque du Soleil. Yes.
Cirque exactly. du Soleil. Oh, it's Cirque du Soleil, but this is a different one. It's all the same.
Yeah.
It's people twirling and shit.
20% off Shenyun ties for dad for Father's Day. If you guys want to go to the Shenyun store,
you're a dad. Yeah. You're out there grinding week in, week out. Yeah. You wake up that Sunday morning. They're like, I hope somebody made me pancakes. And they're like, oh, we got you a Shenyun tie.
Here's a tie. Here's a Shenyun.
That's where you just go out for a loaf of bread. And you're like, that's it. I'm out of here.
Going for cigarettes. No, this is an important update. This is one of the ones we really need to know about.
Okay.
Get ready for RCJ XIX. The RCJ anniversary event, Ed. 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 4th. The legendary Rain City Jacks anniversary event is just a week away, and we hope you are even half as psyched as we are. Since our inception in 2005, the anniversary event has been the biggest one-night group jack-off event of the year.
They're going big for 19th anniversary?
I know. It's kind of weird. It's not even the 20th.
Wait for next year. Go big. Right.
But you're going to like this, Ed, because there's, you know, it's when you have a big anniversary like this. And of course, if you're new to the show, we're talking about Rain City Jacks, Seattle's premier men's masturbation club. If you're new to these things, you kind of got to know the rules, and it's a big anniversary. So they're expecting a big turnout. So here they've listed some important details. Are you ready, Ed?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number one. And I was not expecting this. I'll be honest. Wear shoes.
Oh, probably. You know, when I was in college, we had shoes that we would wear to the dive bar. And then regular shoes. It was called the VU, the Rendezvous Inn. It was the VU was like the diviest dive bar. And if you wore like nice shoes to that, they were fucked up. So you had your VU shoes. So
that's so smart.
You gotta have RCJ. You gotta have Jack shoes.
You would think so, yeah.
Because the soles would be disgusting.
Yeah. Under normal circumstances, and despite our recommendations, we allow our members to just wear socks or even go barefoot.
Oh, no.
And this is emboldened. For this event, we require that every member keep footwear, underlined, with soles on for the duration of their time at the event. We are doubling our play space to include the basement. Ed, imagine going into the basement.
Because that's where the real is on the floor, right? In the main floor. Yes. The basement. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
And the basement's apparently not usually open.
I imagine it's like that scene in Chernobyl when like they're just wading through the muck to get to the reactor before it's too late.
Yeah. With their flashlights go out immediately. Yeah. That's the perfect scene for it. That's exactly what it's going to look like. We are doubling our play space to include the basement, and currently that's just bare concrete. While this will facilitate letting loads fly without worry, it also presents serious health and safety hazards. So plan ahead to keep your shoes on.
You know what you need for this type of situation?
Tell me.
Not just an email from RCJ.
Yeah.
You need a celebrity endorsement.
Who might reach out?
I'm left-handed pitcher who faced 11% of all major leaguers, Jamie Moyer. And when I go to Rain City Jacks, I make it clear I wear adequate footwear because you don't want to turn an ankle or worse in that basement.
Guten Tag. It is me, your favorite German flat top haver, Detlef Schrimp. Please wear your hip waders or what do they wear?
Lederhosen. Keep it high.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. Is this your first time? Do your best to show up between 6:15 and 7 o'clock. We want to take extra time to get you signed up, oriented, and settled in for an amazing first experience at Rain City Jacks. That's why we always open 15 minutes just for first timers. If this is not your first time, please don't arrive until after 6:30. Thanks for helping us keep the entryway clear. Well, that's kind of nice, right?
It's kind of nice because, you know, first timers are probably super excited to just start jacking like crazy. And they're like, well, you know, this is how the pros do it. Relax.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta wait for your moment because I imagine you just walk in there and you just tug one out real quick. I don't know about you, Ed. Right. I'm done at that point. I'm ready for a nap.
But
like, I'm not gonna linger in the and check out the basement area, see who's wearing a red wristband at this thing, right?
Of course, but they got to show them that, you know, famous power forward Tom Chambers didn't just get in there and start jacking. Right. You gotta do things the right way.
He'd just keep hitting those 16 footers, and before you know it, he'd have 32 points, and you're like, holy shit, Tom Chambers!
This guy knows the mullet's a little more athletic than we gave him credit for.
That's right. Current members.
Finn Baker?
Spread it out, exclamation point. The anniversary event is a full hour longer than our normal 2.5 hours, running from 6:30 to 10, including a full 90 minutes of check-in time. Unless this is your very first event, we encourage you to show up anytime between 6:30 and 8 to help us avoid a backup at the door and down the sidewalk.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? It's like, remember those like gangbang pornos? You know, it's the Houston 500.
Yeah, and you're like, come on.
And there's a bunch of convicts just like working their dode the whole time. And you're like, this is such a bummer. Imagine that, but it's Rain City Jacks.
The least sexy thing ever.
Unbelievable. So anybody in our audience from the Seattle area, just heads up, give yourself some extra time at the Rain City Jacks at June 4th, 6:30 PM, the 19th anniversary of the great Rain City Jacks. Please let us know how it went. Ed, let's talk about some people who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who was dead now. It's a sad segment.
Very sad. And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died? Who died?
Ed, who died this week?
Well, this is an already sad segment, but
very sad.
I hate to start it off with an especially sad reminder. 8 years ago today, we lost someone really important. It happened at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, shut up.
The big guy's been gone for 8 years. Just being his best self.
Yeah.
Right? Just looking out for the kid.
Yeah. Some somebody wasn't watching their kid. It made its way into the moat of a gorilla enclosure where the king of that particular jungle, Harambe, was just chilling. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to go. This kid might need a little help. I'm going to go take a look at him and make sure he's okay. And what's he get for his
here.
Trouble?
I run this shit around here, so I got to protect.
Unbelievable. R.I.P. Harambe. Just a real legend around here and really everywhere. I mean, a real stain on the city of Cincinnati for what they did.
Yeah. And that doesn't even take into account what they do with their chili.
Right. Yes. Yeah. First it was their chili.
Chili on spaghetti.
Yes. They put it on spaghetti.
And now they're just killing innocent and lovely, beautiful animals.
They John McSherry ruined their opening day by dying behind home plate.
That's right.
In Marge 1990.
With a Nazi memorabilia.
Yes.
It's a tough All times for stuff. The Queen City, but the toughest moment was clearly the killing of Harambe.
Very sad. R.I.P. Harambe. Love that guy.
R.I.P. to the great Bill Walton, 71 years old, cancer.
Very sad.
That dude was awesome. Obviously, as a player, freshmen couldn't play.
Yeah.
I think he and Kareem, freshmen weren't allowed to play, and both of them won three-time player of the year at UCLA.
Yeah. Yep.
And then he was awesome, won a title with the Blazers, haven't done since. And then he just knees and feet and back.
Feet. Yep.
But as an announcer,
people don't realize.
I loved him. He was just he was joyful. I don't give a shit about the dead, but I love that he loved them. He was great.
He was a fan of the game and he would troll people and it was funny and he would troll Steve Snapper Jones and Steve Snapper Jones would get pissed and they were there with marvelous Marv Albert.
Right.
And it was just like, that's the real sweet spot of NBA announcing teams for me. Marv, Bill Walton, and the great Steve Snapper Jones.
And I like, he would do, because I think he wasn't traveling much, he would do Pac-10, Pac-12 games in recent years. And I would watch those games later on a weekday night and he would just, he knew he was being goofy about it, but he'd be like, this is the greatest rebounding performance in the history of basketball. And it would be by the seventh man on Oregon State. And it's just, he was like a joyful dude. And there's a great 30 for 30 segment on him, maybe last year. And he's just, he was a happy go lucky.
Just a good guy.
And an amazing player who just was robbed by injury, amazing.
71's pretty young. To go, R.I.P.
I didn't know he had cancer. I don't know if that was a known thing, but fuck cancer.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, R.I.P. Bill Walton.
We lost a character actor genius, the great Dabney Coleman, 92 years old. He played an incredible comedic piece of shit.
Oh, he was awesome. 9 to 5, classic movie. Amazing as the bad guy in that.
He just played a great prick. He was on Boardwalk Empire as a legit bad dude, but
real piece of shit on that.
But he had that knack for, but being a lovable piece of shit kind of guy.
Yeah, and in the 80s, I mean, this guy was in everything. He was probably doing three movies a year. In the
80s. One time I remember him not being a villain, Cloak and Dagger. I loved that movie when I was a little kid.
Yeah, that was. I remember we were stealing HBO for a while, and Cloak and Dagger was on four times a day, and I was just nothing but Cloak and Dagger, which was amazing. classic childhood memory movie.
R.I.P. to the great Dabney Coleman.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Grayson Murray, two-time PGA Tour winner, 30 years old, suicide. Very sad.
Very sad. I think he was at the tournament. I think he withdrew
from the tournament. He withdrew that day or something.
Yeah, and then withdrew from the planet. Very sad.
Awful.
Guys, if you're having that sort of inclination, just tell somebody. It is a fleeting idea that you're having. It will go away. It will get better. It's not that bad. Just say it to somebody. People will help you. They want to know.
And even if you don't, if your mind is telling you not, you absolutely have people who love you and care about you.
Absolutely. 100%.
RP Johnny Wachter, General Hospital actor, 37 years old. He was shot during an attempted catalytic converter theft. Michelle that's liked crazy. Him. She said,
that's right.
She watches.
He's handsome. Yeah. General Hospital. Now, I mean, guys, look, I get that you want to protect.
It seems like a very Florida thing, but.
Oh, no, it's very common. It happened to my buddy G-Fish. If you have the right kind of car, especially if you got a Toyota Prius for some reason, those have a lot of precious metals in the in the catalytic converter. So those are like the most stolen ones. It is, and every week. So, Ed, are you familiar with Nextdoor?
You said it's like a racist Facebook thing.
Yeah, it's like the new Facebook. So, it's you go on
plenty
there.
Racist. It's just a different Facebook.
Yeah, you go on there, and there. It's so. Here's the three things that people are complaining about on there. Number one, the kids on the e-bikes. You see these kids on the e-bikes, they're going to get killed. There's a lot of e-bike hostility.
I happen to agree.
It's just a lot.
E-bikes in general, you don't hear them coming. They're coming at like 40 miles an hour.
No, I know. I'm pretty much anti-e-bikes unless, of course, they're my buddy Mike Church's mod bikes in Austin, Texas, in which case.
I fully support it. It's the delivery guys sometimes.
Yes.
I step out onto the sidewalk and almost get killed.
Yeah. So there's a lot of kids on e-bikes and they're complaining about that on Nextdoor. Then the second thing they complain about is coyotes. Oh, watch out. Keep your kids inside. A coyote is not going to murder your kids, people. Like it's very skittish animal. It's just looking for bunnies. It sees you. It goes the other way. Don't worry about the coyotes.
Your dog, right?
It could.
Like if you have a little dog.
A little dog or a little cat or something. Yeah, it'll murk. Look, I once, against my will, rescued a dog from the jaws of a coyote. Took it to the animal hospital where they accused me of it being my dog. And I'm like, I don't know whose fucking dog this is. I'm like, its guts were pouring out, Ed.
That's the hero's welcome you got?
Yeah, they thought I was just dumping my dog there. I'm like, look.
I thought you'd get the key to the city or something.
I thought so too. Yeah. Bullshit. By the way, all of these immediate, you're like, hey, saw a coyote at the, in my backyard. And immediately somebody will be like, well, if Biden were doing a better job at the border, you probably wouldn't have to worry about, because it all turns into like some political conversation.
Right. It was probably like MS-13's problem, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They did. Yeah. MS-13's bringing the e-bikes across the border. But the third thing, there's only three topics. There's the e-bikes, there's the coyotes. And then the third topic is the stolen catalytic converters. And a lot of times people will post videos from their Ring cameras. And these fucking guys I've watched a couple. They come up with a jack.
They're like a pit unit now, right? Like they're a pit crew now.
They do it in like 12 seconds because it's pretty loud. They come up, they slam the jack under there. They leave the car running. Two guys come up with electric sawzalls, battery-powered sawzalls, and one cuts one side and the other one cuts the other, and they throw it in the trunk and they're down the street. It's like a 30-second process at most. So look, if they want to get it, they're going to get it. And it's not worth losing your life over. Like, this is very sad that this guy died.
Oh, yeah. Thieves had Johnny Wachter's car on a jack before shooting him.
Yeah. See, that's fucked. That's so sad.
But if anyone wants to steal anything from you, just let them. It's not fucking worth it.
It's not worth it. Unless you're armed.
Credit cards. Yeah. But like, I'm just saying, if like somebody's like about to steal some shit from your car, it's just, come on.
Yep. Yeah, and this guy was very handsome. I'm looking at
him.
He
really
dreamy blue eyes.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
5 o'clock shadow. Very sad. R.I.P. Johnny Wachter.
I'm not going to say R.I.P., but just a death announcement. Richard M. Sherman, Disney songwriter who penned It's a Small World After All and some Mary Poppins songs, 95. Anyone who's been on that ride has been wishing for this guy's death for years.
Yeah, that is a lot to deal with. Wait,
song that you just hate.
This Johnny Wachter was, well, how much is General Hospital paying him? Was he a regular? It says he got off his job, work as a, at his job as a bartender.
I guess they weren't paying.
No.
He was just a handsome bartender who got a little side work.
Tough economy. I need to see where this is. I need to see if I've been to this bar.
Also, isn't that kind of weird? Yeah. Hey, yeah. Johnny Wachter, what do you want to do? Well, my name's Wachter. I guess I'll be an actor.
An actor. Johnny Wachter, the actor.
who else? R.I.P. Morgan Spurlock, 53 years old, Super Size Me documentary maker. He had cancer as well. Very sad.
Very sad.
That was a good movie. He also made a movie about like the sponsorships and like commercialism in America. It was pretty good. I forget what it was called, but
he also did the one that I've been imploring you to watch for many years. Rats.
No, I know what you're going to say. I will not watch
Rats. Rats on Netflix. He made that movie. Also, Morgan Spurlock was kind of like a victim of his own good guy-ness, because when the Me Too thing popped off, he preemptively Me Too'd himself.
Oh no, did he?
And he was like, look, he's like, I'll just, you know, we've had a couple girls in the office, and I might have said, you know, made comments about their bodies or whatever, and you know, I'm embarrassed about that. Yeah, and he's like, so I'll just never work again. I'm out. And it's like, bro, like, hold on. Right. Like, well, you're good. You didn't really do anything, you know? But he preemptively mean-tuned himself. And then the guy goes out. I mean, he did eat a lot of those Big Macs, Ed.
It was an entertaining documentary. I think
it was good. Yeah.
It led to the canceling of supersizes. Because, like, they it were did? Like,
yes.
how much soda and fries does someone need?
Right. That's true. Yes, supersizing is no longer a thing.
Yeah.
Because of that. I forgot about that. I mean, look, I've talked about it here. I took my daughter to McDonald's probably about 2 years ago now, and I threw a double cheeseburger onto her order, and then I ate it while I was leaving the drive-thru, and less than 2 minutes later, I had a crippling side ache that lasted 9 hours, and McDonald's is delicious. Like, yes. There's a reason that they've been in business this long. I enjoyed that McDouble. I was excited. Or it was a double cheeseburger. I was excited to eat it, but it gave me a side ache that literally I think gave me cancer. Like whatever Morgan Spurlock has, I also have from eating that sandwich. And that's the last time I ate McDonald's. And I honestly, I don't think I'll ever eat it again.
I honestly don't think I've eaten McDonald's in 10 years.
Yeah.
But just talking about his death made me think, man, I could go for some fucking McDonald's. Like, it is delicious.
Yeah.
I just
cheeseburgers, fries. Come
on. Like, there is a McDonald's in town, but there's like, you know, I can get anything within walking distance. So right. I don't need to get McDonald's, but it's fucking delicious. Yeah. But
you need to be on a road trip.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, next exit. And it's like a path of least resistance, because the only other options are Burger King and Wendy's or Hardee's. And you're like, oh, I ain't eating none of that shit.
Or it's KFC. Yeah. It's not Popeyes, because Popeyes is delicious, but it's KFC. Great. So you get soggy fried chicken.
Disgusting.
RIP Charlie Colin, founding member of Train, 58.
Holy fucking in shower. Shit. Ed.
Yeah.
I fucking know this guy.
You do?
I don't know him. Holy shit, Ed. Okay. So I'm on a plane. Like, I don't know. 3 years ago.
Okay.
No, it was probably like 5 years ago. I'm on a plane. I'm flying home from Oakland. I like to sit on the aisle.
Yeah.
She who shall not be named also liked to sit on the aisle. She's sitting across from me on the aisle.
Okay.
It's Southwest. You pick your own, right? this this hand? This couple. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was in the bad times, Ed. This wasn't in the good times. Holy shit, Ed. So I'm sitting in my seat, right? And then, but the two inside, because I'm A group, you know, I don't fuck with it. The two inside seats are available. This woman, this like pretty put together looking blonde, comes and she takes the window. A couple minutes later, a dude in a trucker hat comes and takes the middle seat. And look, I don't want to besmirch the guy's memory, but we're sitting there on the flight and he's like, yeah, he really wanted to let me know who he was. So he compliments my watch is how this started. He goes, oh, you got a Seiko. He's like, I love those, man. Those are classic. He goes, I have one of those too. He goes, I mean, I have all kinds of watches. And then he was wearing like a Audemars Piaget. He was wearing like a $50,000 watch and he wanted me to see it, you know? So he showed it to me and I'm like, oh, cool. And then he was asking me where we lived and stuff, and we just started talking. And he had a hat on from this place that I play golf sometimes, from this golf club. And I go, oh, I go, do you play there? And he goes, yeah, we played there a couple weeks ago. And I go, oh, it's a pretty fun course. And he goes, oh, no. I played there with my band. And then he goes like this. He kind of looks around. And look, I don't feel bad that the guy's dead, but he was kind of douchey. He goes, I used to be in Train.
Wow.
Which is like, why would he even think I know what that is? Like, I was actually offended that he would think I might have been a fan or knowledgeable about Train. But then he fucking told me who he was. And it was Charlie. I believe he was the bass player of Train. And the guy died?
Slipped in the shower.
God damn. He had young kids, too. His kids were sitting in a different row, and they were pretty little. He had a lot of money, though, so he left them well taken care of. I believe he had songwriting credits on those big songs they did.
My buddy sent me the link to that story with a text that just said, seems a little young to be slipping in the shower. And I was like, yeah, it does. That seems a little suspicious.
Yeah.
Later that day, I stepped into the shower, and there was some body wash on the floor of the I banged the shit out of my knee. Like doing it was like Tom and Jerry. Yes. I planted my foot on a bar of soap or something. I went like hard into the side of the tub and crushed my knee. And I was like, I guess I'm 10 years younger than him. I guess he's not too old, young to be slipping in the shower.
Is Michelle trying to murder you?
Maybe.
Yeah. Now, look, we know, remember Bob Saget, who was high likelihood that he was murdered. Because, look, they found him lying on the bed, but they said he had taken a blow to the back of a head equivalent to being hit with a baseball bat. Right? Yeah, it sounds like it to me. And the Four Seasons, Orlando, or wherever he was staying, they're trying to cover their ass, okay? That's my uninformed opinion about it. But you would have to slip. You would have to go ass over tea kettle and then land directly
on the back,
full force on the back of your head to die. I mean, I guess if you're home alone and you get a brain bleed and you're disoriented and there's no one there to discover you, maybe.
Yeah. Friend of my mom's, she lived alone and she, I think, fell on the basement steps, like like doing laundry downstairs and hit the back of her head on the steps. And they said like, she was bleeding for like a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that could be it. Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Look, let's not gloss over the fact that basically one of my closest friends, Charlie Collin, founding member of the pop rock band Train, died at 58 in a tragic bathroom accident. Very sad.
RP Jim Otto, Mr. Raider, 86 years old. I believe he was like a 00.
Oh, that's a great number.
I think like Otto. He wore 0, something like that. But he was like a famous guy that like Madden would talk about, even though he was before Madden's time.
I think. Early. He's huge, right? Wasn't he an offensive lineman?
I believe so.
Wasn't he one of those dudes? Was he like a, like a George Blanda that he also did
that's
the
what
kicks.
I'm thinking like that kind of yeah
he was they gotta bring era. That back especially you know we've been having a lot of issues with kickers lately and punters
we've got another kicker story but I think to kick the ball, you have to play like 40% of the snaps at another position.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You got to be an offensive lineman or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you got to be a player on the field. Are you a player on the field or are you not a player on the field? And if you're a player on the field, then you do the kicks. We're not bringing in some fucking special. It's already bad enough that they go, oh, it's third down. We got to bring in a pass rusher for third down. We can't use him on second down because that's when they might run it. And he's a pass rusher. He only rushes the passer. So he only comes in on passing downs. I thought this was football. You guys used to play two ways. You can only play on third down? Get the fuck out of here. Same with kicking. Okay, the plot thickens it. Hold on.
Oh.
The musician's mother. Why are we getting the news from his mother? Tells us Charlie passed away after he slipped and fell in the shower while house sitting for a friend in Brussels, Belgium. Brussels, oh. Belgium, Ed? House sitting?
Well, hey, I've been there. Fucking beer is like 13%.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't slip in the shower there.
It's too strong. Yeah, they drink those Belgian doubles. Yeah. She tells us no one found Charlie until his friends returned home from their trip about 5 days ago. Well, what about his? I happen to know, since I was a close friend of his, that he's a married man. He's with kids. Like, his wife didn't check on him?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, Charlie.
He's like, I'm going to go take a shower. And she's like, oh, fuck, he's going to sing in the shower. And I hate drain music.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to take the kids on a whole trip.
You could be onto something there, Ed, because it says here, Charlie had moved to Brussels where he was teaching a music master class at a conservatory, according to his mother.
Oh, so it was probably one of the parents of the kid he teaches.
Yeah, because she taught him that Drops of Jupiter. He was teaching her that Drops of Jupiter song. And that's the Hey Soul Sister one. Hey Soul Sister.
Oh, hey. I knew I knew some Train, but like off the top of my head, I couldn't think of. Yeah, I know that Soul Sister song.
Yeah, of course you do. It's been in like every movie and commercial. I mean, the guy had a very expensive watch on. Yeah, he showed me his expensive watch. Also, he had one of those. You know how you go to like a museum and you can buy like a book like of the artist at the museum gallery, but it's like a thick book and it's got like everything there and the books are like $500 and he had bought one of those and he was looking at it with his wife. And look, I don't mean to besmirch this guy's memory, but I'm recounting my interaction with the man. That's all. And he was looking at him and his wife were poring over the book. And look, it was Andy Warhol, which like,
I know he painted some Campbell's soup cans.
Look, his art fucking sucks. You know, like it sucks. It sucks. And even if you like it, hey, you can like it. Go ahead and like it. Go ahead and like it. But you can't think it's important. And you can't think that I need a $500 book of his lame bullshit art. Fuck Andy Warhol. Fuck that book. I'm very sad about my close friend Charlie.
So my first book about cereal, I think the people who worked at that publisher, aside from owing me $6,000 when they went out of business.
Yeah. No, it was $4,000 last time. Oh, you got $2,000 of it.
No. It was 10 and they paid me four and out of the 10 that they owed me. But they had a weird media buy, whatever. I had a friend say his wife, they were in MoMA, the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art. Yeah. And they're like, hey, why is there a random book on cereal next to Andy Warhol and these other books?
It.
My Stop book was it. On the MoMA bookshelf, like Stop. Between Warhol Stop and it. Van Gogh or whatever, you know, whatever well, was
it's,
there.
Because it's pop culture, snap, crackle, and pop culture. And then he's pop art. So it kind of fits in. That makes sense, Ed.
But it's just randomly. And yes, my book was on top of the Warhol book. So, yeah, I didn't make much money on it, but I was very happy that I was a shelf above Andy Warhol.
Well, your book is much better. Like it's, I read that book. I love that book. You're not going to catch me thumbing through any lame lithographs of Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe in purple.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here with that Warhol bullshit.
R.I.P. Mark Wells, he won a gold medal with the Miracle on Ice team, 67 years old. I one time went to a business dinner. Sales partner covered the backup goalie on that team. And he would, because this was his post hockey life, people like, all right, so tell some stories about the Miracle on Ice team. Cause like, yeah. we don't want to talk about Bonds. And the best story was that anyone who's seen the Miracle movie, like at one point they shut the lights off and, Herb Brooks is like, you're still going to do your sprints. Like, I'm going to make you guys work into the ground. And he's like, well, that incident really happened, but me and a couple guys were getting taped up and they turned off the lights and we're like, well, then we should just fucking go.
Just leave. Right?
Because like, how's he going to know who's there or not? The lights are off. Yeah. So he's like, we left. Plus I was the backup goalie.
Who cares? So
that's my brush with the Miracle on Ice team.
That's awesome.
And finally, RIP, Alice Stewart, CNN political advisor and GOP consultant, 58 years old.
RIP, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports this week?
Well, we got another kicker in the news. Two women accused Jags kicker Brandon McManus.
Guilty! I'm just going based on last name.
I was just
going
to say, it anything to do with the moniker.
Yes.
They accused him of sexual assault on a flight to London.
Look, I believe women, of course. I just remember that, like God's punter. Who was that punter?
Yeah, he was like, they drafted him on the Bills. Yeah. You're talking about that dude, and he was doing rapes at San Diego State or something.
But he wasn't. No, he was accused of doing rapes, and he was factually innocent. He wasn't even at the place. He wasn't at the party.
So where it took place. In the league?
Right, because as soon as he was accused and he was charged, he got cut. But then the case worked its way through the legal system, and eventually the charges were dropped because it was determined he had proof that he wasn't at the place he was accused of being. And now the guy's out of a career. Now look,
well, maybe
this McManus guy sounds like
maybe
a huge piece of shit.
The girl was just embarrassed. She went home with a punter.
No, it was. Sadly, and I don't mean to make light of this woman's shame. It was a multiple assailant situation. He just didn't happen to be one of them, and maybe she thought it was
Brett Kavanaugh thing.
Yes, it was maybe the fog of war.
Squeeze.
Whatever,
but maybe Squeeze did it.
This guy's out of a career, which is very sad. Now, this McManus guy, I probably have a different opinion on, but I have a little shell shock for multiple reasons, but also because that the San Diego State God's kicker, he had like the foot of the heavens or so. He had like, he was such a good punter that he had a nickname. That's how good he was. Yeah. He was a Pro Bowler as a rookie.
It was like Kickzilla or something. It was like,
yes. Yeah. It was something pretty good. This guy got to the flight attendant. Okay, see, now he's got two accusers. A pair of flight attendants who were on the Jaguars.
The punt god is
the punt god.
Areza.
Damn.
Matt Areza. The Chiefs signed him.
Oh, good. Give this guy a job. A pair of flight attendants who were on the Jaguars September 28th. Oh, this guy's got a rapey look to him, Ed. I will tell you that. I see it all over him. September 28th, Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings flight to London last season have sued former Jacksonville kicker Brandon McManus and alleged that he sexually assaulted them during the trip. McManus, who now plays for the Commanders. allegedly attempted to grind against the women. That always works, Ed. I don't know. Like, how were they able to? Guys, look, if you're a little younger, like, I'm an older guy. I've been around. I've had my fair share of ladies. Right.
They got rid of, because they had Joey Sly, who was like, he was like 5 for 11 on field goals.
Oh, yeah. That's not good enough. Yeah. They got McManus. So it looks like he might be out of job. He allegedly attempted to grind against the women. And when one of them addressed McManus, he worked and walked away, which is, I mean, look, guys, there's really no better move. If you see a woman that you're interested in having sexual relations with, just without even saying a word, like, this is a real Clark Gable move.
Just go full Knight of the Roxbury.
Yeah, just go up to her and just start rubbing your dick against any part of her body. She'll love it. They love that. Just grind on them.
Baby, don't hurt me.
The lawsuit filed in Duval Canyon Circuit Court on Friday reportedly is for more than $1 million in damages, with the two women experiencing severe mental anguish, anxiety. So, now, I mean, look, I don't want to. He shouldn't have done that to them. That's awful. But also, are they really experiencing severe mental anguish, anxiety, psychological and emotional distress, embarrassment, and humiliation? I don't know. I guess that's
well, he's a kicker.
They got to live their truth.
That's the problem.
It's a kicker. I know.
Right. Although he looks like there could be issues. If Trevor Lawrence does it, they're not as insulted. It's the fucking kicker. Yeah. Nobody cares.
I don't think they're really Trevor Lawrence's type. What is my guy, who's my guy? The guy with the beautiful mustache that used to be on the Jags and now he's on the Raiders. Minshew. If Minshew was there, he would just automatically, he'd be in the first class lounge just having relations with these chicks, like, because he's irresistible. And this McManus guy wouldn't have a chance. But sadly, Minshew's moved on to a couple different teams by now.
Minshew's got game. McManus is like, maybe I should just night at the Roxbury them.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck McManus.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah. What else is happening, Ed? Except for the great Elvis Costello, Declan McManus, but he's McManus, as he is a Scot, I believe.
Important point of distinction.
That's right.
Antonio Brown. He has filed for bankruptcy.
Look, he's going to be dead by Christmas. Now, when he files for bankruptcy, does the judge go, okay, we're going to line up your creditors and see who gets paid back first. We're going to liquidate your assets, but also Vontaze Burfict has to chip in a little bit, like at least 10%. Yeah. Like whatever you pay these, whatever you have.
Right. The Dodgers 10% security guard in the outfield.
Yes. Vontaze, office linebacker Vontaze Burfict needs to help out because he's the one that caused you to have this condition. Right. Obviously. We've seen the tape. And he's Antonio Brown's definitely dead by Christmas, right? Like this.
I mean, we've had lots of circling the drain stories at this point, but come on. This is the predictable last step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
This is it. Yeah. It's all too predictable.
He's run out of ducats.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to my commies, former Redskins/Commanders owner Dan Snyder is reportedly furious after, he funded a Trump movie called The Apprentice, put up a lot of money, only to find out just now it's a negative portrayal of the former president. Like, hey, we'd like to do a movie about Trump. He's like, oh, yeah, my friend Donald Trump, I'd love to give you money. He's like, yeah, this isn't a flattering portrayal of him.
Didn't he take a meeting about it? Like, before you kick in the dough. Don't you get some details as to what it's about?
I hope everyone listening to this is sitting down, but I don't think Dan Snyder understands how things work. So,
he's an amusement park guy, right? Isn't that his?
I think he bought Great Adventure, but he was in the same kind of, obviously much worse, but he was in the Mark Cuban got into dot-com streaming shit in 1996 kind of stuff. Like, it was that first dot-com boom, and he was like, oh, I'm going to buy my boyhood favorite team. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, so, like, what were your favorite teams growing up? And he's like, oh, I loved watching Sonny Jurgensen. And like, well, then you were 1 year old when that happened.
Yeah.
Like just full of shit. Yeah. He was from the DC area, but like, he didn't know shit about the team, and he was a fucking dog shit owner. And
yeah, this is like Bob Costas when he was like, oh, I had that Mickey Mantle card in my wallet all the time. And everyone's like, well, you were like four. Like, what's like, how you're carrying around. You, Ed, you know the comic Whitney Cummings? I feel like I have discovered something about her that no one else has been able to verify, but I heard something, and I think I'm the one that has determined something about her that has been alleged for a long time, and I'll explain it right now because I'm being convoluted about it. A lot of people say, because she claims to be like around 40 years old. I think she claims to be in her late 30s.
No way. She's older than us.
Look it up. How fucking old is it, this guy? Look it up while I tell a story. She claims a certain age, and people say, well, come on, you're not that old.
41.
She claims to be 41. But I heard a clip of her talking about something. I feel like she's given herself up because she was like, remember the Challenger? Yeah, the Challenger disaster when they just wheeled – when they just wheeled the TV into the class and the Challenger exploded. And I was
she was born in 82.
Yes. And I go, yeah, I remember that. Cause I was in fifth grade. I remember exactly when that happened. So, but if you're 10 years younger than me, then they fucking wheeled it into your nursery. They wheeled the television in to show you in your preschool class, because that's where you would have been, because I was in fifth grade. You would have been an infant.
I was in fourth grade in an Episcopal school in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And they made us go to the church to pray for them. And I got in trouble because I go,
you're dead.
I don't think there's anything to pray. Like, we all watched them explode.
Yeah.
Like, they're, and then they gave me a lecture about how you're praying for their souls and stuff. But I was just like, I thought you were like trying to have us pray for them to survive. And we saw them
explode. Oh, you pray for their, but then.
I just like didn't know. They said, we got to go pray for them. And I was like, I just saw them explode. Like, I don't know what the deal is here.
Yeah, well, because this is what's confusing. It's much like Whitney Cummings and her age mistruths. This is where the whole religion thing falls apart, because they're like, oh, you got to pray for them, even though they just explode in a thing. And I'm like, well, the big guy's got them. He called them home via having their bodies blown apart in a massive explosion. So like, they don't need any prayers because they're hanging out with Jesus. They're like up there, they're on clouds, you know, looking down like they do in their little uniforms. Like,
yeah, there's a harp.
Why am I gotta pray for them? Yeah, there's harpists around. Yeah, so you know, I gotta tell you,
I'm not looking forward to that part. Like, harps can be like kind of nice in the background if you're eating like a really delicious brunch. But like, if everything you do and there's harps, you're like, fuck that. Like, if I'm having Eggs Benedict and there's harps in the background, like,
it's fine.
Sure.
It's fine.
It's fine. Sure. Like, I don't hate it because I'm eating Eggs Benedict. Yeah. But like, if I'm just like living my life and there are harps following me.
No.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Everywhere you go, harps.
Get out of here with the harps.
Get the fuck out of here with the harps.
Also, and the praying. I have zero desire to wear wings. So like, I hope there's no chance of me sprouting wings up there.
No, like, what are you? That's so weird. Like, it's a whole nother appendage.
I bet you, like, I'm a bird now. Fuck birds. Yeah. Sky garbage. Fuck
birds. Yes. Yeah. I agree. I don't want to be, I don't want to morph into something else in the afterlife.
What is
that? Yeah, with you.
Much maligned Major League Baseball umpire Angel Hernandez is retiring, but sadly, I did read he's getting some sort of settlement. So, like, he's still getting.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting a bag on his way out from being awful at his job.
He had been suing Major League Baseball because he said they didn't let him umpire in the World Series because he's Cuban.
What?
Yeah, that was the basis for his lawsuit, is that
I saw a good clip of CC Sabathia today being like, everyone on this team, and you can ask the guys across the way, everyone on the other team believes this guy should not ever work a playoff game.
Yeah. Oh, he's horrible. Did you see? They're just in one game earlier this season. I can't remember who it was. He missed like 18 obvious balls and strikes calls, and not like where it crest the line, where it was 4 inches either like in or outside.
Four baseballs out.
Yes, yeah, and 15 went against one team. Like he obviously had scores to settle. Look, we got to bring in the robots. I'll be honest. I'm going to miss Angel because he was so bad.
Nobody is that bad at something.
Yes. He was obviously trying to be bad on purpose, which is great, which is amazing, which kind of made me like him
I knew there were like a lot of egregious calls, but then in the last day through like Twitter or Instagram, I've seen like 10 times as many bad calls as I thought I knew. It's breathtaking how bad he was at his job. And then like I saw even like the LASIX Twitter account was dunking on him. Like, hey, we tried to give him service, but he missed the appointment and shit. Like, it's just everyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's nobody has that universal like or dislike in anything. Yeah. Everyone knew he was the worst.
He's the worst. Yeah. And they must have given him a big settlement to go away because that's like $500,000 a year job.
Oh, it's a good gig to be bad at it and still get paid that.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck Angel Hernandez, but also I'm going to kind of miss the old lug. He's my favorite Cuban umpire.
Finally, a little update. Yep. Last week we discussed this. The footage, not body cam, because the guy turned it off, but from a distance.
They always turn it off.
Of course. When they're about to do bad stuff.
Why do they have access to the on-off? First of all.
Let the public decide when it gets turned on and off.
Yeah, first of all, what's wrong with the system that we got to put cameras on them? Okay? We got to make sure we keep an eye on what these guys are doing. The guys that whose job is to protect and serve, we got to keep an eye on them because they're not exactly doing that. But then we just put a switch on it. Just turn it off if you want.
Like, they
want
to protect and serve, and usually they're 0-2 in that department.
Yes, exactly.
The footage shows that Scottie Scheffler's car was merely crawling through the crash scene, just like on the side.
And it looked like the cop like jumped into him. Like he did that whole thing where he's like, oh, where you think you're going? And he's like, you hit me. And it was so obvious that he didn't. Fuck this guy.
Yeah. It's like one of those Euro basketball players that like comes in and is like, oh, I got fouled. And then you see like, oh no, the ball didn't even touch him.
Totally.
I just want to reiterate. Please. Just mail the check. Mail the ticket. If it's so egregious what he did, just mail the ticket. Like, why do we need a cop to like do anything? Just mail him a ticket.
Mail him a ticket.
Yeah. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. 100%. Okay, let's check in on who emailed and voicemailed this week.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He sees down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits.
Couple of voicemails.
Hey guys, it's Katie. Just calling. Katie. I was late getting the news this past week, but I just wanted to put out there to the baller community how sorry I am and sad I am about the loss of Kyle from Scotty. I can barely wrap my mind around it. It's so ridiculously tragic and awful, and I'm sending so much love to his wife, Brittany, and to his kids, and love to the Baller Nation. There is a great community here, and it's very important that this community, you know, is fostered and taken care of. And I know so many of you are hurting right now because you are very close to Kyle, and I just want to say I'm so sorry. And, you know, all we have in life is our connection to other people and our relationships and how we, you know, move through the world with companionship. And so don't, you know, always tell somebody that you love them when you love them and say you're sorry when you're wrong. Even if you don't feel you're wrong, it's important to keep these connections together. Anyways, sending you all a lot of love and love you, Bri Bri. Love you, Ed. Bye.
That was a very lovely voicemail. Yeah, very, that was very, very, very lovely. Nice.
Yeah, got me a little choked up. Thank you for that, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Here is another one.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Ed. Ballers everywhere. Mateo checking in.
Hey, Mateo.
It's been a while. Hope everybody's doing great. Just got done with episode 525 on Kyle, and
I think he was. No, he was Matt in Finlay, Ohio, but I think he took a job down in Cincinnati. He's a lawyer. He took a job down in Cincinnati. I think he was commuting back and forth, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's still the case.
Wow.
Maybe he'll tell us.
That was one hell of a roller coaster ride of an episode. I mean, 1 minute you're choking up. Next minute I'm laughing my ass off because you're playing Kyle's VMs. My God, what a loss. He was a genuine dude. We need more guys like him. That was a big loss. But I thought you and Ed, Brian, you guys did a great job. Episode was fantastic. Also going to let you know, I am scheduling. I'm going to be heading up to Motor Pub.
Oh, nice.
I'm here very soon with Katie Shady. She's reached out. We're trying to schedule something. So I'll let you know how that visit goes, because that place really kind of kicks ass.
It does live music every night at Motor Pub. And Matt in Finlay, please give us a review of those tots. I don't know about those tots.
Get some tots. You know, I don't know if I've admitted this, and it's really terrible. Neither of my kids like tots. And I remember thinking as I became a parent, I was like, if it's like my childhood, there's going to be tater tots all the time in my life. But, like, I'm the only one in my house that likes tots. Yeah. So, like, if there's a restaurant that has tots, I'm in.
Yeah. No, I'm getting the tots. But you're right. As I also am a huge failure as a parent, because I never give my kids tots. I never pull so shit out of the freezer. Yeah. And they're just delicious. Hit them with, like, a little bit of that seasoning salt on top of them. Oh, so good. Yeah, let's hear more from Matt.
Live music 7 nights a week, good food, cheap beer. And it's in an old building in a part of Cincy called Over the Rhine.
I know the owners.
It's an old neighborhood that was primarily settled by Germans back in the mid-1800s. So motors in this really old, cool building. And they got a stage up on the first floor. Basement. They got a basement full of like some really cool pinball machines.
Oh, I don't go in basements, by the way.
Yeah, unless, especially not in Rain City Jack's basement.
No, definitely not there. But also, like, even in a bar, what if you get a Great White situation? Although that wasn't in a basement, but still, you know, what if fire breaks out?
Am I confused? Didn't Dimebag Darrell have a situation in a basement?
No. Oh, I don't know. I don't think he was in a basement. He was just on stage.
I thought it was a basement state. Maybe I'm imagining something. Yeah. I thought it was in a weird place, but it was a weird place where you couldn't quickly get out because the exits were upstairs or something. Maybe I'm off, but no,
that sounds right. Yeah. I checked the exits myself, but I'm sure Motor Pub is very safe down there and I do like to play pinball. So I probably would go down there.
Seems like the Rush pinball machine and the Foo Fighters machine and just a really cool like 1860s building. So
let's do
Motor's
it.
Cool. So if you ever find yourself in Cincinnati, you got to check out Motor Pub. Nice.
Yeah.
And by the way, Brian, your Bengals, just released their schedule last week and the home slate looks pretty attractive. So if you ever want to come check out a Bengals game, hey, hit Katie up. Let me know.
I will.
Be glad to take you to some really cool tailgates before a Bengals game.
I would love that.
Again, guys, great job. And R.I.P. to Kyle.
Yes.
R.I.P.
We'll talk soon.
But if you visit Cincinnati, like just at a protest, I'm on board with forever protesting, never going to the zoo there.
Oh, fuck the Cincinnati Zoo and what they did to our guy, like, Harambe.
Not ever. Yeah.
Never, never. No, not the way he went out. Okay, one more voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's Lee. I just got back from Wisconsin. And let me tell you, you know it's something when a guy has his remembrance ceremony and I'd say the town shows up for it, but it wasn't just the town. It was the whole freaking county. I got there early, thankfully, and by the time I made my way through the line and visited the Bloody Mary bar, because our, you know, our guy Kyle even does funerals, right?
Of course, of course.
There was a line going out seemingly a mile. There was cars in either direction as far as you could see. And everyone was telling stories, and there were sad eyes and laughing faces. So, you know, they're telling good stories. And you want to know why Kyle was so awesome? You're not going to get a nature versus nurture answer from me, because the guy was surrounded by good people, and his family was also awesome. Mom and dad, his wife, his sister, his grandmother, all unbelievable people. And they're all fans of the podcast, apparently. So you guys are doing something great here. And thank you both, Ed and Brian, for coming on the Stereo Show. That was something special yesterday. Just want to thank everyone. It's awesome to have this, the friendships we wouldn't have otherwise. That's special. So that's it. I'm sorry to not be too baller, but just appreciation for everyone. Love you guys. Bye.
Damn.
Well, thanks for going, Lee. That's awesome.
Yeah, some good voicemails this week. Kyle's wife, Brittany, told me that line of cars for his funeral last Saturday lasted 7 hours. There Jeez. Was 7 hours of people, but just a constant flow of people coming to pay their respects to our guy, Kyle Lanzconi, which is just amazing.
Awesome.
Awesome. Okay. Couple emails. Ballers, very tragic about Kyle. I'm sorry for the loss. Steve sent me the GoFundMe. I made a donation. I'll miss his carefree spirit and happy demeanor on the show. You guys must talk about this. And then Matthew Richards sends me two scatological stories.
Ed. Oh, come on. I haven't even clicked on the link, but I see the first one. The first two words are fecal transplant. Come on.
Yes. Ed. Yes. We don't need to know. We don't need to know about fecal transplants, which is something you hope you don't need. But
no.
But and it can help you with if you need
and,
it.
And then Paris residents planning fecal flash mob. Come
Unbelievable.
On. I want to take the first part of your email and honor that's, Kyle by not talking right. about fecal that's transplants right. and Paris fecal mob.
Fecal flash mob? I mean, that's
Get
just...
Get out of here.
I'm definitely not going to name the episode that's for sure.
Fecal flash mob.
thank you for that, Matthew.
Jeez Louise. Thank you, Matthew.
Here's another one. Thank you all for the recognition to my friend Kyle. I've worked and played with Kyle and Amish Dave for 12 years.
Wow.
Just a few of the memories. First off, and I think your audience knows, Kyle is Kyle. Very secure on who he is. What you see is what you get. Hard to coach him off that mark. Coon hunting past midnight, and we couldn't find the coon in a 30-foot pine. Dave and Kyle climbed to the top and knocked it out. I've seen videos of you guys hunting raccoons out there.
Yeah, he sent videos of coon hunting.
It didn't look like my cup of tea, but it sure looked like they were having fun.
I would be awful at it.
Me too. Amish Dave and Kyle got into a debate one night about the best caliber to kill a zombie. They wanted me to be the tiebreaker, and I refused to participate. We made a lot of new friends trespassing with the hounds over the years. Landowners always found it hard to get mad at Kyle. Kyle worked hard. He played hard. We laid on the shop floor 15 hours straight fabricating a wood boiler 10 years back. Good farmer. Always exploring new technology. Kyle will pay $1,500 for a car, drive it 50,000 miles, and junk it out for $700. Kyle respected everybody and their opinions. Might not agree, but respected a different point of view. Kyle has excellent parents that always put their children first. The same with his family. Kyle and I talked every week, and Tuesday before he was killed, wish he would have called me when he realized he was in trouble, as I would have been there in 10 minutes. The world needs more Kyles. Missing my friend very much. That is from the Coon Hunter. Thank you for that. That's lovely, really email. An amazing email. Yes. Another one. Ballers, tragic news about Kyle. Thanks for playing those old voicemails. And thanks to Ben906 for sharing Kyle's after show calls on YouTube. I always look forward to hearing his voicemails on the pod. Everybody did. You could tell he was the salt of the earth. The fact that he was from Wisconsin but didn't like the Packers made him a true one-of-a-kind unicorn. He represented us in flyover country in the best possible way. Hearing his TBLS origin story is exactly the same as me. Local AM radio station randomly carried Travis's daytime show, and every Friday, some funny fucker from California would do his hilarious Friday Facts segment. So in honor of Kyle, Brian, can we bring in Travis soon for a special Friday Facts? I can't think of anything Kyle would want more. Also, since Kyle was a fan of the Bucks and Brewers, let's pay tribute to Kyle with a Daily's Choice.
Whoa.
Giannis, Greek Freak, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? And how fucking rich is this guy, Bob Uecker? Stay baller and RIP, Kyle. That is from Jeff in Minnesota. Hold on a second.
Jeff.
Daily's Choice. It's a choice I made. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
For those of you that may be new to the program, this is a little game we play where Ed approaches a urinal. At either adjacent urinal is a famous celebrity, somebody, and he only has a chance to observe quickly, take a quick glance at one of their penises. He's got to make a choice. Ed, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, or the captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I feel like this is an easy one.
So it's we're talking in their prime, right? Because like,
sure,
because
Kareem's in his 70s. He's 75 years old.
I'm talking about Kareem when he was MVP and title winner for the Bucks before he was a Laker.
That's right.
The greatest high school basketball player of all time.
Yep.
And oddly, even though he had the scoring record until not that long ago, one of the more underrated pro basketball players of all time.
Absolutely. He had an indefensible shot. People forget. He had a shot that he could make from pretty much anywhere that you could not defend.
But also people remember him from the Jordan era where he was like the end of his career. Like this was,
he was 40 years old.
Like, he was like 38 years old and he still was averaging like big numbers. But like this dude owned the 1970s in basketball and then was still like really good in the 80s. Yeah. I'm taking – and Giannis looks like he's really put together. He's a thick 6'11".
Yeah.
But like Kareem – he's
thick everywhere, Ed.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a beautiful member.
Oh, yes. It's got to be.
But Kareem – it's Kareem.
That's true. Shit.
Like Giannis is – I'm sure it's put together and wonderful. Yeah. But I can't Power Memorial in New York City. I can't not look at quite Ooh, possibly the best basketball player of all time.
You talked me into it. I thought it was a slam dunk.
Because Giannis, I'm sure he's working with something.
I'm sure. Yeah, he's well put together. But you're right. I mean, it's the captain. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like you pay respects to that dong because he's earned it. He's
and
earned it.
He was
it.
In the movie Airplane. I mean, get the he fuck was in Airplane.
Yes. Come on. No, he's fantastic. Okay. Here's the next one.
How fucking rich?
Yeah. Hold on. How fucking rich is this guy? Wait. Wrong song. Hold on. Got to switch the boards. It's get screwed up when we do how fucking rich is this guy. I got to reorganize the board.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out, I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion, or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Now Now, we know he didn't make it on the field, Ed, obviously.
No.
Because Bob Uecker, he played in the 60s. You know, like they weren't making that kind of money back then like they are today.
And
what do you think Bob Uecker's net worth is? He had a sitcom for a while.
And there are some listeners of the show that are younger than us, just enough that they probably don't realize. Like when Brian and I were in the 10, 11 range,
yep.
Bob Uecker was fucking everywhere. Like he was like when he's the voice in the movie Major League, that's the end of his like big run. Yep. But in the mid-80s and shit, he was the star of a sitcom because he was so good on The Tonight Show yep. as a guest for Johnny Carson. And then he was in the Miller Lite commercials. Yeah. So I get Miller Lite and sitcoms didn't pay. That this was pre like Friends money and pre like big endorsements. But I bet this number, however it's reported, is going to be low because being the Brewers color guy is like not a massive payday. I'm going to say it's low and it's $15 million.
Yeah. I would say that is low. I would say that's a good guess, but as happens often, celebrity net worth is just really fucking Bob Uecker over here. Bob Uecker net worth $10 million.
It's got to be low.
I think it's got, because it also says, because he does the games still. He That's still does saying. The Brewers like, games.
He's not making $10 million a year as the Brewers guy, but.
No, they're saying he's making $2 million a year.
Right. He's That's higher than I would have thought. I would have said, if they're paying him $500,000 a year,
yep.
He's stacking chips.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Bob Uecker is a retired American Major League Baseball player, sportscaster, comedian, and actor who has a net worth of $10 million. He's been the play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcast since 1971. Come on. He's stacked more than $10 million. Huh. He's got endorsements. But Bob's estimated annual salary broadcasting for the Brewers is $2 million. In 2019, it was revealed that in the previous season when the Brewers made the playoffs, the team members voted to give Bob a full share of their playoff bonus money.
That's amazing.
That worked out to $123,000, which Uecker then donated to several charities, including the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Wounded Warriors, and the Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee.
Awesome.
Oh, Ed.
Oh,
Bob Uecker.
Say he's on wife number three or something.
Yeah, Bob Uecker and his first wife Joyce had four children together: Leanne, Stu, Steve, Sue Ann. You got a Leanne and a Sue Ann? How you gonna have a Leanne and a Sue Ann as your kids?
I assume one of them is just called Sue or something. Like,
yeah, you probably right. Yeah,
you have too many Anns in there.
So much Anns.
It's gonna be confusing. Like,
you could pick any amount of names.
My dumb parents who named me the same as my dad, so.
Right. Yes. Well,
like, what are we doing here?
People do that. Oh, he's also got a Bob Uecker Jr. He married his second wife, Judy, in Louisiana in 1976. They divorced in 2001. So, Ed, you're seeing what's going on here.
We're seeing the money fly out of his wallet here.
He's had to split it a couple times. But
this wife survived the Miller Lite Mr. Belvedere era.
Yeah. She got paid from that.
Who doesn't understand Mr. Belvedere, his Uecker's sitcom, just Google Mr. Belvedere AIDS scene, and it's one of the greats.
It was.
Hey, it was like a guest appearance. Like, how you doing? He's like, besides AIDS, I'm doing okay. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. It was a
very special episode.
Also, the '80s were wild. We had Alf, who was an alien life form, and they're like, oh, I guess you're from another planet. You could just live with us.
Right. Like, and he kept trying to eat their cat, and then they're like, oh, Alf, you almost murdered our cat. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then the dad was smoking crack and sucking dudes off in crack houses.
He's sucking dudes off for crack.
Really?
Look, if you're wet, if you're, well, Wesley was Belvedere, whatever the kid. Yeah. Benji, Brian, the kid from Alf, he and his buddies would have taken baseball bats to Alf the first time they got a chance.
Oh, for sure.
There's no
That's terrifying.
There's no fifth grade boy who's like, yeah, yeah, I'm just going to keep a secret. There's a fucking alien living in my garage. They're just going to baseball bat him.
It's an alien with a cat skills act. He's a Borscht belt comedian. He's doing
Borscht belt work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're killing
what's
that.
What's going on there? Then Belvedere, he was like the Queen's butler or something. And then he just shows up to Milwaukee and he's, yeah, oh no, I think it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He was a sportscaster in Pittsburgh. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. I'll live in the attic.
Yeah. He just showed up to their house one day and they're like, we didn't order a butler. And he's like, well, I can't go back. And they're like, okay, you're hired.
I guess you can live upstairs. And then he's all persnickety with them.
Yeah. And meanwhile, their son was like 14. Like, what did he didn't need babysitting? Like, what was going on?
And let's not forget
that family.
They had to postpone filming for a while because Mr. Belvedere sat on his balls.
They lost at least a day from that time he sat on his balls. And also, the older brother was Marilyn Manson, which is just the whole thing is wild. Just, so much shit happened in the 80s. Okay, thank you for everybody that reached out. I mean, just beautiful emails and voicemails this week, remembering our dear friend Kyle and Scani. If you haven't gone back, please go back and listen to episode 525, where we play a lot of his voicemails. And I'm still working on compiling a show of just his voicemails. It's just kind of tedious, but I will put it together hopefully this week and have that out for everybody to hear, because it's just nice to hear everybody's remembrances of Kyle. And it is really great to hear his voice on those calls and just remember how fucking funny he was. I had family members of him reach out to me and say, wow, like, we didn't know that side of Kyle. You know, we knew him as our nephew and a great family man and farmer, but people didn't know that, like, sort of cheeky, funny side that he had. And it's cool that he was able to share that with us and that we can share it with them. So, RIP Kyle, we miss him.
He was loved and he is very much missed. Yes,
absolutely. Okay, let's talk some not sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are not, in fact, sports related?
Napoleon's 1.5-inch long penis, last known to be in the possession of a New Jersey urologist's daughter. Brian, my question for you is,
yeah,
what do you think is going on with that New Jersey urologist's daughter? Like, do you think she has people in her life, or she doesn't realize why no one wants to hang out with her?
Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stew, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's Choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Yeah. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers.